How to have fun anytime, anywhere. Step one, go to ChumbaCasino.com.
ChumbaCasino.com. Got it.
Step two, collect your welcome bonus.
Come to Papa, welcome bonus.
Step three, play hundreds of casino-style games for free.
That's a lot of games, all for free.
Step four, unleash your excitement.
Woohoo!
Chumba Casino has been delivering thrills for over a decade. So claim your free welcome bonus now and live the Chumba life. Visit ChumbaCasino.com.
Terms and conditions apply. Now at McDonald's, a McDouble is only $2.50. So you can get your gym gains on or just get lunch for only $2.50. Get more value on the under $3 menu.
Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. Prices may be higher for delivery.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
The Bert Show.
I'm guessing one of the butterfly kisses moments that you never forget is the first time that your kid laid down his first or her first curse word, cuss word.
I thought you and Stacey were going to eliminate the profanities in La Casa.
Well, I guess when you're a parent, you just kind of forget their... I mean, it's been so... We throw it around so often that I thought we were doing a pretty good job of monitoring and editing ourselves, but I guess we're not.
You said, like, right when he was born, like, when he... Like, 6 months old, I remember you came in here and said that you were actually very proud of yourselves because you eliminated it.
I thought we were doing pretty well.
Not so much, huh?
Which bombs do you drop the most often? The SH bomb?
I don't know. I really don't. I thought we had a pretty good handle on it. I really don't know.
When you're mad at Stacey, what do you call her?
There are so many. I guess we must be dropping the F-bomb around the house fairly often, although I don't really recall doing it, but...
When did Hayden drop it and where, more importantly?
404-741-1005. Oh, you'll remember the first time your kid ever cussed in public. For us... It was a sweet little story of being in a silent movie theater for Chicken Little last week.
Oh, no.
Oh, this is good.
When we're watching Chicken Little, and I'm sitting in one seat, and Hayden, our three-year-old, is in between us, and he's barely even heavy enough now to keep the seat weighted down. I actually have to keep my hand on the seat. Or it bounces back and he falls into the crease between the cushion and the back of it, you know?
Oh, that's great.
So little. He is Chicken Little.
Isn't that a family thing, though? Like, doesn't Stacey keep her hand on your seat also?
It's a domino effect. One person moves, the whole row goes up. So, I mean, he's barely even old enough to sit in the seat by himself, right? So we're watching the movie, and, you know, theaters are quiet, and... He has a water bottle, like a Dasani or something, or maybe it was just his cup that we put the water in. And the circumference of the bottle, I guess, was just too small, and it wouldn't stay in the holder, the cup holder. Like, sometimes he could angle it, and it was fine, and other times it would just fall through the hole, you know, and fall onto the floor.
Uh-huh.
So we're in the middle of the movie, and I guess he's been struggling with it for about an hour. And... You know, every time he drops it, I put it back up in there, and we both kind of manipulate it together to keep in the cup holder. And I guess about an hour in, it drops through the hole again, and he gets upset, and he drops the F-bomb, effing cup, in the middle of the theater.
No, he did
not. Yes, he did.
A
now, Stacey and I immediately looked at each other, and we're like, did he just say what we thought he said? Did he just say? And she said, no, it couldn't have been. It couldn't have been. So it only happened one time, and we just blew it off like he was saying something else.
That's great. So not only did he use it, but he knew how to use it.
Yeah.
Beautiful. Like, not only did he get the word, but he also used it, you know.
As an adjective.
In context, correct. Like, and there's so many uses of that word. That's a brilliant first use of the F-bomb.
Yeah, my child prodigy.
What if
he
that's
got
the
his
one
gift.
What if that's the one thing he's really good at?
Cussing?
Yep.
Well, he learned it from the best, I guess. So as we're in the parking lot, Stacey and I, and we have Hayden in our hand again, and we're walking through the parking lot, and Stacey and I start talking about it, and we say, did we hear what we think we heard?
Mm-hmm.
And she said, I don't think so. I just think we heard it wrong.
Right.
So yesterday, we're all sitting around the counter, and when Hayden is playing with his food, sometimes he keeps it down at his side.
Now, where are you again? I'm sorry.
We're in our kitchen.
Oh,
we have a kitchen, and he's at the counter, and he's eating.
Okay.
And sometimes when he doesn't have the food in his mouth, he'll put it down at his side, and it just sits down there at the side. Then he eats it when he wants. So he puts, like, a hot dog or something down, and the dog comes by, and he grabs his hot dog, and Hayden says, effing dog.
Correct.
correct uses the F-bomb.
Well done.
Wow.
Completely clearly. And Stacey's sitting there, and I am sitting there. And she mouths the words to me, don't say anything. Like, you don't want to laugh. You don't want to come down too hard. You don't want to bring attention to it.
I would have had to leave the room. If that was my kid and he did that,
I
would be on the floor. I would be crying. I would be in tears if my kid properly used the F-bomb because Sasha took a hot dog out of his hand. I would, like, that kid would think that he just said the greatest thing in the world because I would have to leave the house.
It's humiliating. Now, it was clear as day, but as a father, I was like, no, he didn't just say that. So I asked him, I said, what did you just say, Hayden? And clear as day, he says, effing dog, right to me. So I said, okay, and I just walked away from it. I didn't correct him. I didn't say it was a bad word. I didn't say it was a good word. I didn't laugh. I just let it go. But clear as day, and like you said, he used it in the right context, too.
Oh, my gosh. Now, what Stacey said is right, though. Aren't you supposed to just not bring any attention to it?
I don't know. I don't
have
read the books.
What else do you do if he keeps using it?
I don't know.
I think what you have to do is you and Stacey have to eliminate that word, like, above and beyond. You have to completely eliminate that word, and then, like, a month from now, if he's still using it. Then you say, we don't say that. You say, darn dog.
Well, I think parents won't admit this publicly, but I think privately when something happens with your kid like that, in the back of your mind, you immediately blame the other parent. Because I'm thinking, Stacy's cussing all the time. She does curse a lot. And I've always felt like she curses more than I do. So I didn't say anything to her at the time, but I'm like, this is all about Stacy. But we're in the car together yesterday after this whole incident, and we're driving to get that truck I was telling you about earlier, and I forget if somebody cut us off or somebody was driving really slow, and I dropped the F-bomb at the guy in the car, and I caught myself. It was me. It's me. So I think the combination of both of us is just he caught on to it, and he's using it in perfect sentences now.
Oh, my God. That's hilarious.
And he's got the cutest little voice, too. I can't imagine that.
Can you get that on tape?
There's no way. I'd have to follow him around and tick him off all day long.
Yeah, just do stuff to him. Like, why can't you loosen a part on his toy so it doesn't work properly? Like, can you loosen a wheel on his bike so it just keeps going in circles or something?
I don't think it's something you can set up, Jeff.
Will you try?
No. I'm not trying to encourage it.
I'll buy it from you. I'll give you $150 for it.
Really?
It'll be just ringtone.
Hey, Mary, you're on the Burt Show.
If you can get him to say effing phone, I will give you $200.
You're going to make it your ring back?
Yes. Like a little kid voice on my phone. You got an effing call.
What's up, Mary?
My son was 4. We're eating brunch after Sunday brunch after church. We have about 15 people, in-laws, church people. My son drops his broccoli casserole on his lap and says the SH word, like, pretty loud under his breath. And my husband and I look at each other, and we kind of blow it off. He tries to pick up the broccoli casserole again to put it on his plate and drops it. And this time it's loud. SH! And we were like, oh, my God, the room fell dead silent. Everybody looked at me. My in-laws looked at me. We were all like, oh, my God. We didn't know what to do. How do you save yourself from that? And, of course, after, you know, the whole deal,
You're in front of all these church people.
Yes.
And you just left the land. Yeah.
Oh, it was drastic. My husband looks at me afterwards, and he was like, you know that that's you. Every single time something happens, that is you. I was like, okay, I'm not the only grown up in the freaking house.
There you have it.
There you have it.
Yeah, you always want to blame the other parent. Anything that's wrong with your kid is definitely not your. It couldn't have been me.
Do you correct,
had to be mom.
Do you correct Hayden if he's using words wrong?
Incorrectly?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, but like,
that answers your question, Jeff.
No, do you correct him if he's using, like, the wrong word for. You know, like if he's calling a telephone, whatever, something else.
Yeah, like if I'm on the phone with somebody, he'll say, what was that? And I say, it's who was that?
Right. Uh-huh. So can you just tell him that he's using the F word incorrectly and it's actually freaking?
No, I don't even want him saying that.
Yeah, that's still bad language in little kid circles.
Sure.
And when he goes to school, you don't want him using.
But have him be okay with it.
Well, you remember when we had Kevin Smith in here? He said he had like a 3 or 4 year old and he let him curse and he thinks it's the funniest thing. And he said when they got to be at age like 5 or 6, they weren't using the word at all anymore because it was like having the key to the kingdom. It's not a big deal.
Right.
Until he gets to kindergarten and he's like, get off my effing felt board.
Hey, Jeremy.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Hi.
Hey, I was going to tell you one story, but this one's funny. That my 4-year-old daughter, she was about 2 years old at the time, and we're going over to my wife's parents' house, and you know, they were going to put a movie on for my daughter Tori, and my wife's dad was like, "Well, do you want to watch Barney?" And my daughter said, "Nah, Barney's a bitch."
Great.
I mean, do you correct them on stuff like that, or do you just let it happen? You know what I mean? It was so funny.
Well, in that case, I mean, it's a real struggle not to laugh, but then you realize how serious it is. Like, well, once they get out of the house.
She was using correct grammar.
Did you explain to him that Barney is androgynous and therefore couldn't be a bitch?
No, I didn't know what to say. I mean, my father-in-law wasn't too happy, but oh my God, we were all rolling. It was hilarious.
Yeah, and there are times where it's like you can't quite make it out, so you almost talk yourself into like they couldn't have just said that.
Right.
But there it is, clear as day.
You realize how much they're picking up you don't even realize
for
that
sure.
They're listening to.
Hey, Sherry. Good morning. Hold on. Sherry, good morning.
Now, but when she was three, she was sitting at the kitchen table, and it must have been in the springtime, and our dog was outside, and the windows were open, and he was barking really loud, just, you know, incessantly. She slammed her fist down on the table, and she said, "GD it, Cosby, shut up." I had to walk out of the room before I corrected her. I had to walk out of the room because I was, like, laughing so hard.
3 years old.
Right.
She was about 3 years old, but she's 16 now.
I mean, yeah, no, I'm glad I made the decision not to be a mom because especially in the car, I talk about my road rage, that kid, I mean... Yeah, no, I would never remember when I've cussed. I know I cuss all the time.
I thought we were doing really, really well. I really did, but I guess not.
Yeah, Melissa would be the worst if you had to put a car seat. You should let Melissa watch Hayden for a weekend.
Forget
it. Have him in the backseat of the car. He'll have a whole glossary of words. Yeah.
Melissa cusses more than you probably cuss in a week just backing into a parking
car.
Spot here in the building.
Hey, Karen, good morning.
Good morning. I love these stories. My husband was guilty of watching the Terminator and the Mel Gibson Lethal Weapon movies when our girl was about that age, three years old. And I kept telling my husband, you know, you can't watch those movies. She's at the age where she's going to pick up those things.
Mm-hmm.
He said, oh, she's not paying attention. She's playing with her tea set. She's doing this and that, you know. So my mom came down for a visit from out of town, and we're taking our little one to the toy store, my mom and I. And my little girl, beautiful blue-eyed little baby girl, says, looks at a toy gun and picks it up and says, oh, a F of you. And my mom looks at me like, what did she just say? And I said, honey, what did you call this? F of you. You get what I'm saying, what she's calling it?
F of you?
An F you?
F of you. She added like a A at the end of the F word.
Uh-huh.
She thought the gun was called that because in the movies that
they
Daddy had been
that.
Watching, they point the gun at so-and-so
and
they
say it.
That.
So she associated the word of the gun with
so
F-U.
My husband uses that all the time. You know, driving down the road, he's so bad, he'll call people F and moron, this and that. So I come home, I busted him and everything. He said, no, she didn't get that from me. I said, she has to get it from me because I don't cuss. About a week later, we're in the car, and he got cut off. And before my husband could say a word from the back seat, she says, F a moron, Daddy. And I just looked at him. He was so busted.
That is great.
But it's so scary. It's unbelievable to hear your little angel say those things.
I know. You don't want to believe it. It couldn't have possibly come out of their mouth.
The Bird Show.
Michelle called us up, I guess it was about a week ago, right?
It seems longer than that, right?
Was it 2 weeks now?
I'm thinking it was, where she had called up because her ex-husband, I forget how long they've been married, but her ex-husband was asking her for her ring back so he could propose to his new girlfriend.
Don't you wish there was just some way that you could have cameras on people's lives all the time so we could TiVo that and watch the moment that he asked and see her face and like do a close-up? Because she must have been just like... You're out of your mind, right?
I want to go back to when he thought that was a good idea. You know, like TiVo even back to when he made the decision with somebody. And somebody said, yeah, dude, that's a good idea.
So not on the same page with you guys.
You think this is okay?
I think it's no problem. Like,
come on.
I mean, the fact that he asked.
Oh, my God.
The fact that he asked to me, it's weird because if I was the next girlfriend, I'd be like, what the hell? So that part. But the fact there's any dilemma or whatever, yeah, give him the ring. If he's that stupid, there you go. Uh-huh. Bye-bye.
I would rather use a piece of tinfoil, something unique, than go back and use my ex-wife's wedding ring to propose. But I guess when you're like, let's just assume the dude's in a total financial bind, right? And there's no way that he can propose, right? And so he's going through any options he has in his mind at all. And this is the only one he can come up with.
We were, of course, obviously married. We were married for about 7 years, and things just didn't work out between us. I separated, and I left him, and finally I get him to sign the divorce papers, and we've been divorced for about a year. And he just started dating a new girl a couple months ago, and he gave me a call and said, asked if I still had my wedding ring. I said, yes, I do. He says, well, I was wondering if I could have it. I said, okay, what for? He says, oh, well, you know, I'd like to have it. And having a conversation with him is like pulling teeth. I said, okay, what for? Well, for decoration. For who? Well, I want to give it to my girlfriend. I said, why? Well, you know, we love each other and we want to get married, and I just don't have the money to go out and get a wedding ring right now. And I want to give it to her for Christmas. And I said, you can't give her a wedding ring as an engagement ring because both of the bands are welded together. I said, you can't do that. He said, oh, well, I'll get that unwelded. I said, well, but you can't do that. He said, well, she doesn't have to know. And I said, well, your kids will bust you because your kids know what it looks like. Oh, no, they won't.
Okay, so that was a few weeks ago on The Burt Show. And we haven't talked to, quote unquote, Michelle since then. Anybody want to try to make some predictions? Did she sell it back to him or
I think she was not very, she was debating whether to do it or not. It wouldn't even be a consideration for me, but I think that she went ahead and gave it back to him because she was already halfway there.
Well, she did owe him some money because he had overpaid child support, and she was supposed to give that back to him. So instead of giving that back to him, she could give the ring in its place. But she really felt strongly about keeping those rings as a symbol of their marriage that at one time was happy to pass down to her kids. So I'm going to say she is holding on to it.
Okay.
That's my
prediction. Your point was he overpaid his child support, but it's going to his kids. So why you want it back?
I mean, it sounds crazy, but that's the law.
Right.
That's, yeah.
All right, Jeff?
I think she gave it to him. I think she came around to my side. She's like, you know what? She's going to be that dumb. Here, take it.
I'm going to say she kept it. I think she kept it. Hey, Michelle.
Hey.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Doing okay.
So what happened?
Okay. I never called him because I said, well, just call him and tell him about it. I thought, nope, I'll just tell it to him face to face because he had the girls this weekend. So we always meet at a certain place in downtown. So we went and walked around Atlantic Station, which was very cool.
Okay.
And walked around there and then went up and met the girls. I brought my whole posse with me. I had my sisters and her friends, so I had my whole posse with me. And walked up, and I was saying hello to the girls, and he says, hey, do you have a check for me? I said, no. I said, because what I've decided to do is that you can have the diamond inside the ring, but I want the rest of it back.
Okay.
Because I thought, well, I'll just give him the whole entire thing. I said, no. I said, because he's going to trash it, throw it away, whatever. I want the rest of it back. Because I can, you know, later on, I can always put something in it later, or I can always use it for the girls later.
Mm-hmm.
He says, oh, well, that's all I wanted. All I wanted was just a diamond. And she's cool with it, because, you know, we discussed it, and she's cool with it.
So he discussed it with his girlfriend?
Now, he ran it by his girlfriend, because he says, well, you know, I just didn't want to leave her in the dark and make her think that, you know, I was trying to pull something.
No way.
So I just told her and, you know, let her know about it, and she's cool with it.
Mm-mm.
I said, well, all right, long as she's cool with it.
Well, that's not your response. That's not your problem anyway.
Yeah.
You know, if I recall, didn't one of our Burt Show listeners suggest that you do that and split it up? So I think that was a good choice.
Yes, I did take one of the caller's advice. Mm-hmm. I thought that would probably be the best thing, because I was very torn. I thought, well, I want to give it to him to get rid of that debt. But I thought, well, I don't want to give it to him because I want to hold on to it. So at least I'm winning both ways. So I can at least keep half the ring, and then he can take what he wants, and that cuts my debt.
All right, so now you say you cut your debt. Is it gone completely now, or are we talking about halfway? Or
It's gone completely. What I'm going to do is I want to have my stepmother is a paralegal, so she's going to write something up that looks all legal and stuff, saying that, you know, it's in exchange for the wedding ring, the diamond in the wedding ring, he will forego every penny that I owe him, plus the money that I've already paid come back to me.
Smart. Mm-hmm. Okay.
And I'm very thinking, smart. Well, if he says, well, I don't want to do that, I'll say, oh, sorry, no deal.
Mm-hmm.
And your
I know he wants that ring, that diamond, so.
Your feeling is also, because you said you had daughters, that if they wanted to use this ring in the future, they certainly could. They just need to get a diamond for it.
Right, and I thought, well, by then, I'm sure whoever gets married first, I'll obviously say, you know, whoever gets married first, here, you can have this. And if they say, well, no, Mom, I don't want to take it, I'll say, okay, well, I'll just keep it for myself or I'll make it into something. But but I will give them that option to have it if they'd like to have it. Because they really like looking through our wedding album and looking at our pictures and stuff. And, oh, you know, it's when Mommy and Daddy got married, and they just love looking at those pictures.
Okay.
So.
All right, so I think
that's a good idea, a good compromise.
Yeah, I think it worked out real well for you.
Surprisingly, yeah, it did.
All right, well, congratulations.
Thank you.
One last question, though. Are you having it taken out and you're just going to give him the diamond? You said something at the start of it of you're going to want those back.
Right, and I told him, I said, well, you can have the diamond in it, but you're going to have to give it the rest of it back to me. And I'm going to have it written down somewhere saying he has to give it back. I'm thinking, well, he'll just say, okay, yeah, I'll take it. And say, oh, well, you know, something happened or I wasn't able to give it back to you. I'm going to get it in writing saying that he is to give that ring back to me after he takes what he wants out of it.
Boy, if I were you, I think I'd take that diamond out myself.
I'd drop it off to a jeweler, and then he can pick the diamond up at the jeweler and you pick up the setting at the jeweler.
Yeah. That might be a better idea.
You're not his priority right now.
Or you just take it to a jeweler and have them remove it. They can do that while you wait. Have them remove the stone and the setting, and then just take them the stone.
You turn that over to him, that's gone.
I was going to say, they can also appraise it while you're there, too, and give you some sort of certificate to give him. So he'll know that it's not like any sort of like fake diamond or whatever.
But what if it's less than the debt she owes him? I think it's better off just to give him the diamond and not
say,
okay,
be in the clear.
Yeah, I guess I was just thinking forward to the step where he says, well, how do I know if this is the diamond?
Right.
You know, if he needed some sort of paperwork, I'm sure the jeweler could give you something.
He's not real smart. Yeah, I doubt he's going to go into that much detail.
Hey, Michelle.
Yes.
Thank you for calling.
Oh, well, I appreciate you guys calling and checking up on me.
Yeah, I mean, we got a couple of emails from people that were dying to know what you were going to do. Appreciate it.
Oh, really? Well, that's good. I'm glad I got help. I needed it.
Yeah, it sounds like a good compromise, actually.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I agree that, you know, Jen brought up a great point about how you need to keep your eye on that setting the whole time and not give it over to him.
Right. I have to get it back.
Good luck.
Yeah, you got to do this because you put that in his hands, it's gone. It's gone.
Yeah.
All right, Michelle. Thank you.
Thank you, Burt Show. I appreciate it.
Bye now. You know what
glad to help. Any situations like that, go ahead and call us. Always glad to help.
You know the part that I want to stick with here, because you know how we've said that it doesn't matter what we're talking about, that I think we've got a diverse enough listening audience now that somebody is listening that calls up and go, yeah, that's me that you're talking about.
Right.
So she says that the ex-husband tells the new girlfriend that I'm going to use the diamond or I'm going to use my ex-wife's wedding ring on you as your new engagement ring. And she says she's fine with it. I want to know if there is another Burt Show listener in our audience, 404-741-1005, that knows the ring you're wearing on your finger right now is that of his ex-wife's.
Ooh.
All right? Because the way she describes it, the husband says,
the
girlfriend was totally cool with it.
Fine with it.
I'm having a hard time believing that, a real hard time. So if you're that woman, right, so you're walking around right now with a wedding ring on your finger that was formerly your husband's ex-wife's ring, call us. Good morning, Robin.
Yes.
How are you today?
Pretty good.
All right, so we're speaking directly at you here, huh?
Yes.
Okay, go ahead.
I worked at an OBGYN office, and my ex, fiance, he had proposed to me with this ring, who was actually his ex. He was engaged prior to me, and had given me the ring he had given her, and she was a patient, so I was drawing her blood, and she actually said, you know, that was my ring, and that was very embarrassing because, you know, she's a patient, and my coworkers are all there, so...
Okay.
Let's back up on this.
Hold on just a second. Yeah. Okay. All right. I don't even know where to start. But first of all, okay. Now he asked her to marry him, but they never got married, right?
They never got married. And she was pregnant by him.
Oh.
And it sounds unbelievable, but it's true. And she was pregnant by him. And they were going through some stuff and, you know, we started dating, and I actually went to the court, and that's how I met her, because they were trying to get their stuff back at court.
So you knew her before she was your patient?
Yes.
Okay.
So, and I think she did, I don't know what her intentions were by continuing to come there, and
Espionage.
I actually was pregnant, too, and he proposed to me with the ring that he had proposed to her with.
And you had no idea until she identified that ring on your finger?
Exactly.
I would.
Wow, that's got to be an uncomfortable.
While you had a needle in her. Dumb.
Well, she had waited until I was done, but I was drawing her blood, and that's when she said. But she had known about me, and she was like, "I hate to tell you this, but you know that's my ring." And I was like, "Oh my god!" I mean, I wanted to die. It was embarrassing.
That's a conversation that definitely waits if you're at the OBGYN post speculum or whatever that thing is called.
She was drawing blood.
Jeff. Don't even say it.
Like, you know, like just
bad timing.
Whoops, slipped.
Ow. Now, did you believe her or did you not believe her and then go to your fiance and ask him?
I believed her. It was such an amazing ring. I just was like, you know, how did he just like, you know, go get this? And I mean, I believed her more than I did him.
And then when he went to go talk to him, what did he say?
He said that we were both effing psycho and, you know,
he turned it around.
Bought it for me. But
it was your fault.
He turned it around and blamed it on you?
He tried to blame it on me. Mm-hmm. Y'all are both crazy, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like.
Mm-hmm. And then he took off and you guys, and it was over at that point.
Exactly.
You should have sold the ring and split the money.
Yeah.
Actually, I gave it back, so.
Good for you. Mm-hmm. And just be clean with it. Get him out of your life.
Exactly.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you.
That's going to be a tough one to beat right there.
Wow.
Good morning, Sydney. You're on The Burt Show, all the hits Q100.
Hi, how are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm good. My husband now, we've been married a little over a year. He gave me his ex-wife's ring. They were married for 8 years. The reason he did it, he told me he'd buy me another ring, which I have no problem with wearing this ring forever. It's very pretty. The reason he did it, he's a full-time Georgia Tech student. He's 35, so he started school kind of late. But his mom noticed it, and she was like, "You don't mind wearing her ring?" And I was like, "No, ma'am, I don't. It doesn't bother me at all because he don't have a job, and I'm working to support him through college."
I still say, you know, like maybe I'm an old romantic and maybe I'm an old sentiment or whatever, but I swear to you, I would rather wear a piece of tinfoil around my finger than have that constant reminder of the other woman. Do you ever look down at it and think, man, this is kind of a reminder of his past life?
Not really. No. I mean, he promised me. I mean, we didn't get to go on a honeymoon. We had, when we got married, I had to go back to work, and he had class the next day. So he promised me he'd buy me another ring, and I told him not to worry about it. I go, just buy me something to go with it. I go, because, I mean, it's a gorgeous ring. It's very, very pretty. And it doesn't remind me about her at all. I don't think about her. I mean.
Yeah, well, you know, but in this situation, if I was the first wife, I'd love it. Like, you know, the thing is, like, guess what?
Constant.
She's wearing my ring. I mean, like, the person, the first wife, I mean, they're the ones that are sitting in the power position for sure, because he bought that with her in mind, you know,
right.
I'm also surprised that the part of the ceremony where they bless the rings and, you know, it's part of your vows where they do this whole blessing on the rings didn't bother you.
No, I was happy to be with him. I had been married previously, and I had to buy my ring last time, and I was just happy to get something I didn't have to buy.
So you were in the negative before. At least here you were breaking even.
Yeah, right.
All right, thank you. Okay, she says pretty much just the material thing.
And she's paying his school, too. I was laughing because of the fact that she got the ex-wife's ring, plus she's paying his school at Georgia Tech.
Wouldn't you think that even the, like, isn't that just a dangerous, like, that's could be a relationship-ending proposition.
Oh, yeah.
Not even the action, but just, mm-hmm. like, you know, if Jen and I have been dating for so long, and I sit down and go, hey, Jen, listen, I think, you know, I'm going to have to spend some time with your father in the next few weeks, if you know what I mean, but before I do that, I want to make sure you're okay with wearing Jessica's old dress.
Yeah, no,
like,
I don't.
You're
done.
See ya. Over. That's bye. It. Yeah, because if, yeah, you're thinking that's not even an option.
No.
That's not in any scenario. That's not even an option.
And I'm thinking less of you because you even consider the
Right. Hey, Nicole.
Hey, I had a story about the engagement ring.
Yeah, uh-huh. Please do.
A couple months ago, me and my, well, he's now my ex-fiancé, we went to Wild Bill's. And, you know, we're dancing, having a good time. All of a sudden, this girl, like, screamed out, hell no, in the middle of the club. And I'm like, what's going on? She comes running over. She grabs my hand. I have no clue who she is. She's like, what the heck is this? And blah, blah, blah. She's like yelling and screaming at me. She said my boyfriend's name. And she was like, this is my ring. I can't believe you gave it to her. And I'm like, oh, my God, you know, who are you? And she's like shaking my hand. She's trying to fight me in the middle of the club, trying to take my ring off. And, you know, and my boyfriend's just standing back there like, you know, oh, my God, you know, they're going to fight each other. You know, they're going to try to kill each other. And, you know, she's just grabbing my hand, and we're going round and round in the middle of the club.
All right, so we're going to have to back up with you here for a second also, okay? Because Wild Bill's is kind of dark. I mean, there's a lot of lights going on, but it's a strobe light situation here. You're out on the dance floor. She's out on the dance floor. How did she even get a glimpse at your hand and the ring on your finger?
I have no idea because, I mean, I was minding my business. You know, we were dancing together. I know I had my hand on his shoulder because we were, like, just going crazy, and all of a sudden, just out of nowhere... What the hell? And, like, she says, hell no. Nah. And she just starts going crazy.
Hell no, she
hell
said.
To the no. No. No.
Hell to the no.
Here's what happened. Some of her friends have spotted you as the new girlfriend at the club, and they've said, you got to come out. She usually comes out on this night. And you got to see this thing on her hand. So, like, I bet before she ever saw you that night, she went there to see you guys together.
I would almost guarantee that. I've never met his ex before. I've never met her.
So this is his ex.
This is the ex, yeah.
You know now that that's his ex-girlfriend.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Definitely.
Now, before that, you didn't know that he was engaged, though.
Yeah, I didn't know that he had ever been engaged. So he got caught in a lie, too. And that's why we're not together anymore. And
that is
good for you.
Yeah, absolutely. Crazy.
Thanks for calling, Nicole.
You're welcome.
Appreciate it, bye now. Yeah, I think I would imagine, or they just happen to be at the club at the same time, and the ex saw the ex-boyfriend. She's like, that's that bitch that he's going out with now, and then just noticed the ring on the finger and just zeroed right in on it.
I'm not convinced that he didn't take her to the same hangout. He took all his ex-girlfriends. He knew he was going to be there in the pool of exes.
That'd be an honest guy mistake. Guys wouldn't even do that.
Yeah, guys don't pay attention to that. So, I mean, yeah, they probably run into each other several times.
That ain't good thinking.
Get it? The Burt Show.
Jake Gyllenhaal, we were just going through his resume, and it's like, he hasn't been in that many big, big movies, but people are nuts about this guy.
No big blockbuster. I think he got a lot of attention because of Donnie Darko, which was kind of like a dark cult-type film. And then he was with Jennifer Aniston in The Good Girl.
Mm-hmm.
Which got him a more critical acclaim.
He was in Proof with Anthony Hopkins and Gwyneth Paltrow, which was another one that didn't end up being a huge blockbuster, mm-hmm. but was with some big-time stars. So he's aligned himself with the right people,
right.
I think.
He may be more known by who he dates than the movies that he's in. And we tried, because the rumor here is that he and Kirsten Dunst have this kind of like on-again, off-again relationship. She goes out, dates somebody else for a second, and comes back to him. So it's really kind of up in the air. We don't have real commitment, right, on if they're dating or not?
No, well, he sort of gives us a little nugget.
We tried. Yeah. Oh, did we try.
Was it for lack of effort?
Yeah.
Right.
We really tried. Well, he was on Friday, and he was promoting Jarhead, which I didn't get to see over the weekend. Mm-hmm. And the movie didn't do that great over the weekend.
Came in fifth place. So not horrible. Mm-hmm. I mean, especially when it's out at this, you know, big time for Chicken Little, which is, you know, anytime a kid flick is out, then that's going to take the number one spot. But yeah, it didn't do as well as they had hoped, I'm sure.
He was fun, though. He had a lot of fun with us. Seems like a cool guy. This is Jake Gyllenhaal on The Burt Show, all the hits Q100.
Jake Gyllenhaal now joins us. Good morning, Jake. Let me introduce you to everybody on the show. My name is Bert.
Hey, Bert.
Jake. This is Melissa.
Hey, Jake.
Hey, Melissa.
Jeff Dahler.
Hey, Jeff. We go way back.
Where's Jen?
Jen.
Hey!
Hey, what's up?
Jake, you've done more indie projects than any big blockbusters, and that sort of made you this young, hot Hollywood commodity. Was that on purpose? Why'd you choose those scripts?
They're just, they were, for me, they were just the best ones, you know? To
really?
Me, they're like the ones where I got a lot of stuff to play. You know, they happened to be kind of weird, deranged characters, but they were the ones where I could, like, kind of stretch myself and push myself, so... It was inevitable I'd do those. And the other ones, you know, I eventually got to those because they were fun. I've always wanted to do blockbuster movies and stuff, but the other ones are more for the acting.
If there was a salary cap on movie making and you made the same amount of money for these big ones or these small ones, mm-hmm. which one would you choose to do?
You know, both of them. I love watching. I mean, I love going in the summertime and watching those big movies. I have fun making them, too. I mean, there's a whole different atmosphere, you know, instead of, like, a ton of dramatic acting, you're running away from things like I did in The Day After Tomorrow. I like running away from things, so, you know, I like them both. I wouldn't mind. It's not a question. It really isn't a question of salary for me.
What big-time role have you turned down already?
There are roles I haven't gotten, but I haven't really turned down that many. I really would have liked to do Moulin Rouge, you know, that movie?
Uh-huh. Really?
Yeah, I was really close. Actually, I just did a movie with Heath Ledger, and it was me, Heath, and Ewan McGregor up for that role. And Heath and I became friends, and we didn't get the role out of jealousy. And then, you know, we made a movie together later on. But.
Now, Jake, I was about to ask you about Brokeback Mountain, because I am a lesbian, part of the gay community. The gay community, of course, with you and Heath Ledger in the movie, are very excited about that. And you just talked about how you took these independent roles, and then you became a blockbuster, you know, celebrity, but you still decided to do Brokeback Mountain. And I'm wondering, did anyone discourage you from taking that role now that you are a bigger name?
No, actually. Maybe naively, but no, nobody did. I mean... The thing is that the thing about that film is I think it has a stigma on it already as being sort of the gay cowboy movie, mm-hmm. and I think it's much more than that, and I think you only know that until you see it, and I know that there'll be people who have problems with it, and I know there are people who will support it more than anything they've ever supported, you know, so it's gonna be split here and there, but nobody warned me against it. It's an amazing story, mm-hmm. and I think everybody around me and knew that.
So the tabloids are all talking about your relationship with Kirsten Dunst, on again, off again.
No,
yes,
really?
They are.
Yes.
I know you don't read them. No celebrity does.
Can you tell us, what should we believe?
What should you believe? Mm-hmm. You know what? All I can tell you is that she's such an amazing, amazing girl and will, like, is always in my life, no matter what.
Come on, Jake, you gotta throw us a bone. Give us some scoop. I mean, we've got no ratings. If you throw us a little bone and you define your relationship with her, we'll get in the local paper, we'll get some national notoriety, and we could really use that. Will you throw us a freaking bone?
Yeah, maybe, you know, we get to know each other a little better, maybe.
Okay.
You know? How long is that going to take? Like 60 seconds?
are we going to be close in the next minute and a half?
We'll see by the end. We'll see.
Would you, like, if a younger actor was on the set with you, okay, and this is his first big movie, and he's starting to get attracted to another woman on the set that he's starring with? I mean, we know a little bit of the history here. So would you advise that up-and-comer to date within the celebrity world or outside of it?
I would probably advise them to date whoever they had real feelings for, you know? I mean, mm-hmm. if it, you know, you can never really tell, but usually better to date maybe outside, I would say.
So my follow-up question to that is, are you going out with Kirsten Dunst now?
You know what? I feel like we really know each other now, like, really. So, you know, I'll let you know next time.
Damn it. All right, well, obviously, we got to talk about Jarhead also. Tell us a little bit about it, because I think that people are expecting this to be like some kind of bloody, bloody war movie, and I, from what I understand, it's not like that.
Well, for anybody, I think, who went through or experienced the first Gulf War, there are a lot of things that people who didn't fight in it don't know, which is that there was a lot of waiting around, and a lot of experiences that happened besides the combat action that people, the soldiers experienced. And this is the experience of one Marine in the first Persian Gulf War, and he and his platoon, and what happens amongst all of them. And it's based on a book by Anthony Swafford, who was a Marine and a scout sniper. And it's sort of pretty true to life, but it's not what you expect. No, it's not the, it's not shoot 'em up at all. Even though you in the end of the, by the end of the movie, you kind of want them to.
And that, it's more of an introspection, like a bunch of guys talking about the situation there, and rather than actually on the front line stuff. Correct.
Well, you know, there is a lot. There is some action here and there. I mean, there's a lot of. I mean. To me, I liken the movie to, like, really great sex without an orgasm.
That's an oxymoron, isn't it?
Yeah, well, maybe for some people. Well, it's a trick, you know?
Now that you've...
but it's a really entertaining movie, even though they are waiting around.
Now that you've shared with us your philosophy on orgasms, are you dating Kristen Dunst?
Are you in love with her?
They could say no because you said Kristen, not Kirsten.
Oh, Kirsten.
Yeah, man. That's not good.
All right. Speaking of Jarhead, I know this is sort of like a random connection to the title of the movie, but I read
You're
somewhere.
Like, are you dating Kirsten Dunst?
I read somewhere that you have an odd similarity to our own Jeff Dollar. That you
really?
Have an irregularly large head and you have to order extra large size hats. Is that true?
Yeah, I have an abnormally sized head.
Oh, really?
Jeff, look, you and Jake have something in common.
Have you ever weighed yours? Because we actually weighed Jeff's one time. And what was it, like 18 pounds or something?
No, like 46.
Whoa. Yeah, it's huge. It's scary.
18 pounds, did you say?
There's been times, Jake, where I've nodded and I had to run a few steps forward.
Jeff constantly is taking Dramamine.
But you know what? Given that information, I definitely have not dated Kirsten Dunst.
Oh,
even though I have a big head.
That's too bad.
Just a little nugget. We just need a little notoriety. Just a yes or no. Do you love Kirsten Dunst?
She's a great girl.
Good luck with Jarhead.
Yeah, man. Seriously, it looks like a great movie. Mm-hmm. I think I'd really like to go see it on Sunday. So, thank you for spending some time with us, and good luck with it.
Thank you guys so much. Yeah, go see it. It is a really, really, really great movie. So I'm very proud of it.
And totally seriously, where do you find big hats?
You know, I just go to the store. You know, those like fitted baseball cap stores, and I'm just like, give me the biggest thing you got.
I've done that, and it's still embarrassingly small.
So they don't take you in the back, and they're like, here you go. And they all like the ones that are all defaulted. They don't give you those ones. This one was a mistake, but it'll probably fit your head.
You can put a car cover on me, and it looks like a Yamaha dude.
Jake Gyllenhaal, good talking to you. Good luck.
All right, thanks, guys.
You're on The Burt Show.
What's up, fools? Main Event Jey Uso here from the WWE. When it's just me between matches, it's day one-ish. And that means it's Chumba time. With hundreds of casino-style games and new titles arriving weekly, there's always something fresh to try at Chumba Casino. The daily boosts make it even more fun. And have me about to get them all during my downtime. Ready for a fun way to chill out and enjoy a few minutes for yourself? Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.